let's talk about classroom discipline. I like to start with this quote from Brian Mendler. Relationships are the foundation with difficult kids, every single time. Looking elsewhere, tickets, charts, etc., waste time and often makes things worse. Trust the process. Building valuable anything always takes longer than planned. It's so true what Brian said. Effective teachers, the most effective teachers I know that classroom discipline should be handled with respect, kindness, consistency, and encouragement. They help students aspire to be their best selves and develop positive self-esteem. Their methods are focused on improving a student's sense of responsibility and helping students develop a growth mindset. What is a growth mindset? A growth mindset is a belief you can grow and change. It's an understanding that there are no bad kids or good kids. Students should be taught that there are people and strategies accessible to them that can help them learn. Many behavior plans, such as clip charts, color change charts, and sticker or reward systems, rely on the idea that kids know the behaviors and need to be prodded into using them. So, when teachers give students the skills and strategies that they need to achieve higher levels in reading and math, they're teaching them about the word, yeah. They highlight and complement their strengths and build on them while giving tools and techniques to help them progress. Teachers don't get mad with students or take each mistake as a personal attack. They don't bribe students to solve a math problem correctly because they know the student would solve it if they could. Effective teachers help students realize that although they haven't mastered a skill yet, they have the power to persevere and will achieve their goals in time. Growth mindset applied to behavior is about setting goals for how students will act, giving them strategies to use in new and challenging situations, and helping students reflect on their actions and outcomes. Instead of shaming or bribing students by using a behavior management system that involves publicly clipping down, changing colors, or adding stickers to a chart, there are so many better ways teachers can promote positive behavior and a classroom culture of mutual respect and understanding. First thing, prevention. Effective teachers spend more time establishing strategies for preventing problems than they spend on handling behavior issues. Good classroom management involves establishing routines, consistent implementation of carefully negotiated rules, careful lesson planning, and smooth transitions between lessons and activities. Planning effective instructional strategies, such as giving students choices, catering to the needs and interests of students, addressing different learning styles, and keeping kids actively engaged, all will prevent many undesirable classroom behaviors. Okay, so we have to take our egos out of the classroom. It's important for teachers to have self-confidence and not feel defensive or authoritarian when students have a complaint or they're displaying inappropriate behaviors. Effective teachers realize that the student is having a hard time, not purposely giving anyone a hard time or acting out because they dislike a teacher. Okay, positivity. Students need and respond well to teachers that like and respect them. Getting to know students, establishing a good rapport, showing a sincere interest in their lives, and communicating how much the students are valued are all tremendously important in promoting positive behavior in every classroom. And we have to have expectations. We have to help students see themselves as capable, responsible people, and in response, the students will act that way. When setting expectations, it's important for us to address individual differences. However, there are specific ways that teachers can take those differences into consideration communicate high expectations, and encourage better, more productive, and positive behavior from all. We can do this by giving sincere and specific praise. When students act, make eye contact, listen to what they say. Rephrase rules and directions and constantly remind children of the behavior that you expect. Respond positively to all behavior by either affirming great choices or correcting and redirecting the students to change their behavior. Model the respect and kindness you expect students to return. Encourage all students to set their own behavior goals. Be sensitive to the emotional needs of students. Give students enough time to respond to a redirection. And we have to always ask ourselves if we are unfairly judging a child because of a report or opinion from a previous year. Let's get away from that. Let's give every student, you know, a fresh new start. And not just every year, but every day. It's important to be present. Effective teachers are aware of what's happening in the classroom at all times. They regularly and actively monitor all areas of the classroom and position themselves where they can see all students. Students need to know they're present and aware at all times. Offer cooperative activities that will give the children group identity and a sense of community, and that will discourage that kind of cliquey behavior and other antisocial behavior that sometimes comes up. Respect cultural differences. The most effective teachers take the time to be aware of these cultural differences. Certain behaviors may be respectful in some cultures, such as not looking straight at a teacher when he or she speaks, and they may seem like they're being defiant, but really it's a cultural difference. Always be specific when you're talking to children about the behavior that you expect. Be consistent and very specific when helping students understand why a misbehavior is not acceptable. They need to be taught to reflect on the behavior and think about how they could avoid doing the same thing again. Very young students may need explanations over and over and over and modeled over, over and over. It's important to be discreet. Teachers that value a culture of kindness and a community built on trust and respect, who believe that educating the heart is a priority, will speak to students about their behavior in private. Embarrassing a child is never an option for a truly effective teacher who wants the best for her students, his or her students. It's really important to listen to our students. Active listening must be part of any classroom's plan for positive behavior success. Students should be encouraged to talk about their feelings and concerns. Often, they may need to be asked to restate or clarify their statements. It's important for teachers to take the time to really understand what students are thinking and work on honest, open communication every day. It's never appropriate to be judgmental when children are sharing their thoughts. Effective teachers model that honest and open communication, and they do this every single day. And we need to talk about addressing academic survival. Because we know that many unpleasant classroom behaviors stem from academic confusion or not being challenged appropriately, we have to constantly differentiate instruction and adapt activities so students are neither bored nor struggling. We need to work hard to be sure that students have schoolwork survival skills, such as paying attention, following directions, asking for help when needed, volunteering to answer, and extending their learning. We can't just assume that they have these skills. We have to give them the opportunities to learn and practice them. It's a really good idea for every classroom to have a corner or a space designated as the calm corner. A calm corner is a valuable tool to have in a classroom for students to use and improve their self-regulation skills. It's really great if students have an area and an opportunity to calm themselves down when they're upset and cheer themselves up when they're feeling so down. It's crucial for students to be able to release anger and engage their mind without feeling threatened or as if they're in trouble. So a calm corner can do this for them without being a punishment, and it should definitely never be used as like a timeout. A calm corner can be the most effective when it's catered to the individual needs of students. So some teachers will create individual shoeboxes for each and every student. And each shoebox will contain items chosen specifically for what the student needs to calm down or cheer up. The items can include like little stuffed animals, sensory activities such as colorful rice scented with lavender, calming glitter jars, engaging books, soothing music, or even a journal and a pencil or crayons and paper. So when a student feels a need to visit the calm corner, they can take their own individual box, which has been filled with supplies just for them, and have the time and space they need to get back on track and ready to focus and learn. It's also important to think about our word choice. We have the power to set the most positive tone possible by being mindful of our word choice. The language of discipline should be as carefully planned as the language and vocabulary used in academic lessons. If a positive learning atmosphere is to occur, positive language should be substituted whenever possible for negative language, while keeping the focus on the desired behavior. So, for example, look this way and listen, thank you, is better than saying, don't talk while I'm teaching. Telling students to share the center supplies fairly is better than saying, don't argue and fight over the pencils. So things like that, word choice can make such a difference. We also should be aware of our nonverbal language. It's not only the words we say that matter, it's also the tone of voice, eye contact, body language, and proximity to students that affect how words are perceived and how effective they can be in helping students meet positive behavior expectations. The most effective teachers are careful to balance correction with encouragement and focus on reestablishing working relationships. They're always focusing on the behavior rather than attacking a person. They're calm themselves before trying to calm a student. They address the issues that really count rather than wasting time and energy on minor issues that don't really matter. And they're brief when addressing behavior, even when using commands. There's absolutely no quick fix. Whatever words we use or techniques we try, positive discipline will educate the heart of a child. It will provide them with a daily dose of caring. The long-term effects will send the message, you are a good person, you are worthy of respect, and you are capable of self-discipline. The most effective teachers love their students unconditionally, show them they care day after day, and never give up. And I'm going to end this with another quote from Brian Mendler. You can't hang behavior charts, color clips on the wall and ask kids to mind their own business. And it's true. We don't want to do this. We don't want to use public shame. We don't want to make the whole world knowing that a student has made a mistake. We want to treat these children with the respect that they deserve. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode focused on classroom discipline. There really are so many better ways to promote positive behavior with a growth mindset approach and to build community at the same time than with any kind of clip chart, color changer, or sticker chart you can possibly think of. But what are you thinking? I'd love to hear from you, so if you're listening on Anchor, feel free to leave a voice message, join the discussion. Bye for now.